Well, we're thankful today for the privilege we have just to gather in the Lord's house. I was about to get started a little ahead of time a minute ago. Dennis was giving me the 2 minutes, and I thought he was telling me it was time to go. And I was out of breath from coming up the parking lot, and he was telling me, wait a minute. But I'm thankful for the extra 2 minutes. It gave me a little bit to catch my breath. But anyway, we're going to take off now. But that's good to be able to gather together. I know that some are listening at home. Some will be listening by way of CD after a while. And even maybe tomorrow. And some listening out in their cars now. And I know it's already getting hot out there. I stood out there and talked a little while. So I know it's getting hot on them out there. But we'll try to get through what the Lord's put on my heart. Maybe the Lord will send a little breeze by out there to help. But appreciate all of you listening wherever you are and however you're listening today. I have a lot of requests. I just want to mention some. Try to go down through and mention some things. We'll pray and look in the Word of the Lord. Pray for Rachel Lale. Olin sent me a text the other day and this morning, and he said that she's to have some oral surgery in the morning about 10:30. So ask the Lord just overseeing that for her and take care of that. So remember that. He also mentioned to pray for the Paul Carswell's family. That was Kai Lale's brother-in-law. And he passed away last night. So ask the Lord to help this family meet the needs of their heart. Dennis's sister, Kale, she had to have a stent put in this week. She's home doing well, and we're thankful for that. Joni, she had to have catheterization on Monday. She did well, didn't have to have a stent. Came home, changed her medicines a little, and all was okay there. So we're thankful for that. Holly had a treatment on Wednesday and on Friday. These hit her pretty hard. So ask the Lord to just help her, encourage her, meet the needs of her heart. She'll have a series of 12 weeks of these treatments. So ask the Lord to oversee in these for her. And then Erica Lohman went back this week, got her scans. Her scan results were good overall. The place that was in her neck had grown a little, but not much, and they're just going to continue to watch it. They felt like the flare-up that she had was from stress, and so they're just going to monitor that. She'll see the doctor again in August. So just ask the Lord to help her and encourage her. And then Chan sees the doctor again this week. They canceled it this past week. She'll see him on Thursday. Guy Stamey got the results of his scans on Thursday. Actually, they were not changed really from the last scans that he had. And what they thought was cancer in his lungs wasn't cancer at all. It was the blood clots that they were seeing. And so they were thankful for that. They're not going to be able to put him back on the pills at the dosage they were hoping. But he is going this week. They're going to try to set him up on the IV treatments. And they're going to do those once a week, every 3 weeks. And they're going to see how he tolerates that. And so pray for him. Continue to pray for Betty, asking the Lord to help her. Joyce Britton went to get those pins taken out of her finger. Actually, it was more involved than she thought. They took her back into surgery and moved those and closed it all up. So she's been pretty sore She still hasn't got an appointment at Winston yet about her pallets. Still having a lot of problems. And ask for everyone's prayers. And Jim, he is to see the doctors this week about setting up the injections in his back, and they're hoping to do that the following week. So pray for him. Jake is hoping to hear this week about from Hickory about him getting things lined up about his therapy on his arm. So pray for him. Randy Lill's father will get his port put in tomorrow and get all of his scans results. Then I think Tuesday and Wednesday he'll see the doctors and get started on his infusions. So pray for him. Johnny Holman has shown a little improvement, and they've been working trying to get him cut back on the vent, the last I heard. So ask the Lord to help him. Beverly sees the doctor on Thursday about her knee. So ask the Lord to help her. Darnell, still recovering with her ankle. Still got a lot of healing there. So ask the Lord to help her. We've been asked to pray for Dennis Huffman. Just found out this past week he has cancer. So we'll be adding him to our prayer list. And then we've added Mallory Sherrill. She is 24 years old and got an update today that they have her off the ventilator now and on the oxygen, the nasal oxygen. She has opened her eyes, and so that is an improvement. She is the one in Charlotte that has been on the ventilator for about 2 weeks with the COVID, 24 years old. So ask the Lord to continue to help her. So a lot of needs and hearts and lives. God's able to help and able to touch so many things. We have many others on our prayer list. Ask God to help them, touch them, and meet the needs of their lives and of their hearts. And I know he's able to do great things. Pray for our nation. You know what's going on in our nation dealing with the pandemic. All these things that are happening, that are going on racially, socially, going on politically. So much happening. Ask God to help in all of these things. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask him to help us for a little while. Focus our minds, our attentions, and our hearts on the Lord. We need to worship him. We need to honor him. Ask God to help, and ask God to give us wisdom and leadership in these days. Our Father, we thank you for your kindness and mercy and love. Thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Father, still, it is so unusual to have together as we are in these days. Father, not just us, but churches everywhere. There are many all around us gathering as we are. And Father, some are still able to come and gather partially in the house of the Lord. Some, Father, at home, even in their gatherings. But Father, would you work, Father, in these days? We're looking for a day that we can all come together in your house and worship as we'd love to again. But help us today. Touch us in your word. Father, we'll praise you for it. Help me physically. Help me vocally to be able to speak what thus saith the Lord. I pray that you would touch all that are hearing. Give them ears to hear and a heart to respond to the word of God. Touch these that are sick and hurting, these that are going to doctors this week, these that are waiting, Father, for test results, and these that are dealing with surgeries and so many things that are facing them. God, I pray you touch in these days people that are dealing with these viruses. Father, all of these things. Touch our nation. Oh, God, help us in these days. We'll praise you for all you do. Keep our eyes on you. Lord God, we'll thank you for it all. In Christ's name, we humbly pray. And amen. I invite you to turn with us to the book of Titus, chapter number 2, the second chapter of the book of Titus. The second chapter of the book of Titus, and verse 11, familiar verses that we want to read in our hearing today. Well, let me just back up to verse 9. Go to verse 9, and then we'll read the remaining part of the chapter. Titus, the second chapter, and we'll start in verse number 9. Paul is writing to Titus, who is pastoring in Crete. And he writes to Titus, and he says, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and no man despise thee." So that's reading verses 9 down through verse 15 in the second chapter of the book of Titus. I think I'd be right if I said today that everyone listening to me today was waiting for something. We wait for test results to come back. We wait for someone to say, "I'm sorry." We wait for a phone call. We wait for strength to return. We wait for the job market to improve. We're waiting for vacation time to finally get here. We wait for the right person to come along, and the list seems never to stop. We all know how frustrating it can be to have to wait, sitting in the waiting room while everybody else's name is called but yours. We know how it is to be stuck in traffic while the cars two lanes over are moving, but we're still sitting still. We know how it is to be hurting while you wait for relief to finally come. And we all know what it is today to be waiting for something close to normal to return again. So we all know what it is today to be waiting. But Paul mentions something in our text that we're all who know the Lord are waiting for, and that is the coming of the Lord. He mentions that in verse number 13. He says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That phrase, looking for, means expecting or waiting for. As a matter of fact, I can't help but believe that as our world has gotten worse and worse about us, that it has created a greater longing with so many of God's children for him to come back. But nonetheless, his return is what we're all waiting for today. Let me say this today as a word of warning for us all. Sometimes we want to focus on watching for certain signs that would point to his return. But if we search the scriptures, the Lord never taught us to look for signs when it is in regard to the rapture. But he always just said to be ready. I believe he can return at any moment. Yes, there are things that he says that he tells us will let us know when it's near. Days that were like before the flood, and days that were like Sodom and Gomorrah. How wickedness, he says, in the last days will wax worse and worse. But I can't help but believe that God has even given us a picture today of how easily it's going to be for the Antichrist to establish a one world order. I believe that that's part of what we're seeing in this pandemic and all that's happening. I believe God is letting us get a little glimpse of how easily the Antichrist can set things up. But God never told us as the church to be watching for signs. He said to watch for his coming, to be looking for him. So Paul says here that we are to be looking for that blessed hope. We look at a world today that doesn't have a whole lot of hope. We're looking at a world today that if you look at all that's going on, doesn't give hope in what we see. We helplessly watch as politicians argue and as problems abound, whether medically or socially or economically or morally and racially, as the climate of our national and world tensions seem to heat up higher and higher. We wonder where it's all going to end. But we must keep in mind that we live in a fallen world that is dealing, and we're dealing with the effects of sin all around us. But we don't have to live with fear and worry and wonder where it's all headed, because we have the blessed hope. That hope that Jesus is coming again. But what I'm looking at in these verses today is the fact that Paul has a lot to say about how we're to live while we're waiting for his return. He talks about in verse number 12 about how we're to live in this present world. So what I want to preach on this morning and what I want to think about is how to live while looking for the Lord. How to live while looking for the Lord. So there's some things that Paul is talking about that we want to look at today in this text. First of all, Paul gives some words of explanation. In verses 11 through 12, or actually I could say in verse 9 through 12, Paul gives some words of explanation to those that he's writing to Titus. He has just talked about in verses 9 and 10 about how Christian servants or workers, we would say, are to carry themselves before their owners or employers as being good examples for Christ. You see, in that economy that Paul was writing to, slavery was a common thing in the Roman Empire. And now some slaves had hard lives. But there were a lot of Christians that were slaves, that were treated as members of the households. They were servants in the household. They were paid a wage, and they were treated like an employee would be treated. And their masters, their owners, would be like an employer. And so Paul is writing to Titus and telling them, encouraging them how they ought to live and how they ought to act. And he says to them in 1 9 and 10, he says, they're to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Paul says that as you, as an employee, and working for your employer, your owner, your master, that you should adorn the things of God, the teachings of God, that you're to live your life as a good servant of God. You see, it would be easy to say, well, I don't have to listen to my owner. I don't have to listen to my boss. They're not a Christian, so I'll just live how I want to live and do what I want to do. Paul says, no, that's not how you live your life. That we're to adorn the doctrine of our God and our Savior in all things. Now that word adorn is the Greek word from which our word cosmetics comes from. Our word cosmetics. And it is the idea of arranging in an orderly fashion to enhance the beauty or attractiveness of something. That's why these ladies wear cosmetics. They wear it to bring attractiveness to their looks. That's the reason they do it. And so what Paul is saying, that you are to live your life to bring an attractiveness to your life, to bring an attractiveness to Christ. So from there, Paul carries it over into verse 11, which is really where I'm getting. He says in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. He gives them the provision of grace. He says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. He begins to talk about it like this. He says we're to live our lives adorning the doctrine of the gospel of God, of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're a product of grace. That we have got to realize where God found us. That we got to realize that God saved us by His amazing grace. That there's nothing outstanding in us. That we're no better than anybody else. That we can't boast ourselves of anything. That God has saved us by His amazing grace. That God and His grace has appeared unto all men. God's grace is that unmerited favor that we didn't deserve it. And no man deserves it. No man deserves the grace of God. We deserve the judgment and the wrath of God. But God in His amazing grace has appeared unto us. And so He is reminding them where God found them. I don't have any reason to boast myself above anybody, to think myself better than any man, to think myself that I'm better than somebody else. That boss that you work for, that employer, maybe they're not saved and maybe they don't treat you at times fairly, but that doesn't give you the right to treat them ugly. But because of the grace of God, because you're a child of God, that we're to live right before them, because we're products of the grace of God, that we are saved by God's amazing and marvelous grace. You see, there is a danger that comes along with grace. There is the danger that some people have that's this. There are some who say that, well, because I'm not under law and I'm under grace, then I can live how I want to live. Paul dealt with that danger in the book of Romans. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. God forbid. That's not how grace works. Grace is a humbling thing. Grace is something that causes us to realize that God had reached out, that we were sinners, and we were lost and undone. And apart from the grace of God, we were destined for hell. Paul says, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. So see, there is that one thing, that one side that says, well, I can live and do how I want to live because I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. I can do whatever I want to do and do as I please and live sloppy lives. So there is that danger and that risk that's there. But Paul says, realize the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Let me pause here long enough to say this. Just because it's appeared to all men doesn't mean all men will be saved. It means that all men have the opportunity that God has given all men the opportunity to be saved. But not all men will be saved. Every person on the face of the earth has that opportunity. But not all men will be saved. Thank God. I thank God that grace found me. Thank God for grace that reached me where I am and where I was. And found me, brought me into the family of God. I'm a product of grace today. Here I am. And where I'm headed is all because of grace. And I thank God for that. But he goes on. And he not only talks about the provision of grace, but he talks about the instruction of grace. Look at verse 12. He says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That grace that has found us, saved us, it also instructs us, teaching us. It is the idea of educating and disciplining our lives. It has the reference of showing us the way, of molding our character. You see, God is producing in us the right kind of character, God's character in our life. He says there is a negative and a positive that God does in us. Negatively, God's grace teaches us denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. It teaches us to renounce and disavow ungodly and worldly things. Things that are not right. God's grace teaches us to leave them alone. Hands off. To stay away from them. It doesn't matter if society accepts it. It doesn't matter if our friends are doing it. It doesn't matter if our co-workers are doing it. It doesn't even matter if other churches are doing it. If God touches our heart in grace and says, stay away from that, then we need to stay away from that. I don't know how it works in your life, but there are things in my life that I look at, and on the outward, I may think, well, you know, I may do that. Other people are doing it. And on the outside, it looks okay. But the more I ponder that, there's something on the inside of my life that says, oh no, that isn't right. You need to stay away. That is the Holy Spirit in grace keeping me away from those things. That's how grace teaches us in our life, but not only some negative things, but positive things. Also teaching us that we should live soberly and righteously, godly in this present world. Teaching us three aspects of life. First of all, that we should live soberly. That's the inward aspect. It is the idea that that we are to live with self-control in our life. We live in a world that's out of control. This old world says, if I want it, I'm going to get it. I don't care who I got to step on. I don't care who I got to hurt. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to have it. But grace teaches us to live soberly, teaches us to weigh things out, teaches us some inward control in our lives, to live soberly and righteously. The word righteously is the outward aspect, and those two work together. As we look at it soberly, then we also look at it righteously. It's the idea of how it's going to affect others. Is it going to hurt somebody else? How's it going to affect somebody else? I don't want to cheat anybody. I don't want to lie to anybody. I don't want to intentionally injure anybody. So the grace of God teaches us to live soberly and righteously. Excuse me. And godly in this present world. And godly, that is the upward aspect. To live holy. It is the desire to want to please God. Those three things, they work together in our life and in our hearts. Excuse me. That is how the grace of God teaches us. Here's the idea. Grace changes people's lives. Grace will teach you to want to live right. Somebody that gets saved or says they get saved, somebody that makes a profession in life, somebody that says, oh, I'm now right with the Lord, but their life never changes. I've got serious doubts about their life. Somebody that makes a profession, but they can go back out and live the way they live. I've got serious doubts whether they ever had anything to happen in their life. I know that we have a constant battle with the flesh. I know that the old nature struggles to have the upper hand. But I do know this, that when you really get saved by the grace of God, that grace will teach you to stay away from some things. It'll teach you to desire the right things in your life. So that's what Paul is saying. Paul says that there's some words of explanation about how grace teaches us to live in this present world. But then secondly, there's some words of expectation. Look at it in verse number 13. He said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The idea I said a while ago, looking for, is that expectation of waiting. It is an expectation of waiting, of longing. It isn't a casual looking, but it is an earnest looking, a desire of anticipation. Have you ever anticipated something, an event, so intensely that it just captivated your mind? I mean, it was all you could think about. I know there's been times that I have been so tired physically from things in my life, and vacation time was getting here, and man, I was so looking forward to it that I started just counting down the days. I mean, I got down, and it was 3 weeks away, and it was 2 weeks away, and then it was just a week and a half, and it's 9 days, and 10 days, or 8 days, excuse me, and then it was 7 days, and 5 days, 4 days, and then just 2 days, 1 day. And the night before, I had a hard time sleeping. I was so excited, So excited. That's the anticipation that Paul's talking about. But it's also a word that means to welcome. To welcome. It is the idea that we're welcoming his return. Oh, I believe that's what Paul's talking about. That it is such a blessed event, such a joyous event, thinking about the coming of the Lord, that we're ready to welcome his return, that we're ready to look for him in such a way that Lord, I welcome you. If you'd come right now, I look for you just to come on, come on. You say, why is it such a joyous event like that, to welcome him in such a way? Because life is a struggle now, but it won't be then. That life loads us with so much care now, but we know that then all the cares of this old world will be past. In Romans 8:22, he says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. This whole world and this creation groans and longs for the day that he returns and sets right. There is a universal groaning that all of creation feels. But Paul went on in verse 23 of Romans 8. And he says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. He said, not only creation, but we ourselves in our bodies, there's a groaning, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. I ask you today, do you groan? I sure do. Boy, I sure do. I get out of bed in the morning and I groan. I get out of the chair and I groan. I walk up some stairs and I groan. You say, why? Because life has taken its toll on me physically. I'm telling you, it's taken its toll on me spiritually as well. I pray and I groan. I read my Bible about heaven and I groan. I'm looking for the day when he returns. There's a strong inward desire in my heart. There's a deep sigh, deep longing for deliverance deep within. The Apostle Paul described it like this in Philippians 1:23-24. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is no more needful for you. He said, I'm in a strait between two. He said, there's a longing that's deep within to go on and be with Christ, which is far better. But yet he said, there is that desire to be here with you. I want to tell you, there is that strait that we all have. There is that longing of the inner man that desires to be with the Lord. But there is that outward of the outward man that doesn't want to say goodbye to loved ones. And we all, if we're honest as Christians, that we all have that struggle in our lives. We all look for the day for the Lord to come. But we all don't want to say goodbye to loved ones down here. But I'm telling you, the longer you live, the longer you see all that this world does, the pressures of life, the problems of life, I'm looking for that day for the Lord to come and to get us out of this whole world. In this text, there are two appearings. In verse 11, there was the appearing of grace. He says in verse 11 that grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared. And is talking about the shining forth of grace. But in verse 13, he says that when the Lord, he says that glorious appearing of the Lord, of the great God, our Savior Jesus Christ, he is talking about Him being manifest, of when we see Him. Thank God there's coming a day that we're going to see Him. What a day when we're going to see Him as He is. Thank God for the day that our eyes will behold Him, that we'll lay aside these earthly cares, that we'll lay aside sickness, till to a day that there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more sorrows, there'll be no more sadness, there'll be no more graves, there'll be no more cancers, there'll be no more problems, there'll be no more trials, there'll be no more heartaches, there'll be no more of this old world, and we'll see Him face to face. What a day, what a glorious day that'll be. Paul says, that is our blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. A.W. Tozer once said that we turn to texts like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and John chapter 14 only in days of funerals. But he said they're more than cut flowers for funerals. They're given to us to remind us and encourage us of a living and a blessed hope in Jesus. They remind us of His glorious appearing. And I say we ought to live with that eager expectation that He could come at any moment, that we ought to live looking for the Lord to come. I don't have the time to get into the last thought, but I'll just mention it in passing and I'm done. He says in verses 14 and 15 some words of exhortation. He closed in verse 15, said, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." He says you need to exhort people with these words. Rebuke them. Challenge them. Encourage them, comfort them with these words. These words are words of expectation of how we're to live looking for the Lord. What is it our motivation? How is it that we're to be motivated? He tells us in verse 14, because He gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. That's what ought to motivate us to live for Him. That's what ought to excite us to serve Him. That's what ought to cause us to look for Him, is because He gave Himself for us, that He might purify us unto Himself a peculiar people. That word peculiar, it don't mean odd, strange. That word peculiar means a purchased people, a precious people unto Himself. He loved us enough that He left heaven's glory and gave Himself for us to purify us from all of our sins, purchased us because we were precious. That's what ought to cause us to live and honor Him in this life while we look for His return. Paul said, challenge with each other with these words. I ask you today, do you have that hope in Him? If you do, then live for Him. He's coming, and I believe He's coming soon. I believe He could come today. I believe He could come at any moment, any hour. You say, preacher, these are hard days, difficult days. I wish things would get back to normal. I do too. Preacher, I wish things had settled down. We could gather in the house of the Lord. And I'm looking for that too. I long for that. I long for normalcy again. But I tell you what I long for more than normalcy. I long for Jesus to come. I long for Him to sound the trumpet. I long for Him to call His children out of this whole world. To leave behind all of these cares. To leave behind all of these sorrows. To leave behind sickness and pain and all of these things. Every day that you and I live is another day of sickness. It's another day of worry. It's another day of anxiety. It's another day of watching our loved ones hurt. It's another day of seeing loved ones that'll die leave this world. It's another day of hearing somebody with cancer. It's another day of people facing treatments and facing sorrows. I'll tell you what'll settle it all. Let me tell you what'll fix it all. For the trumpet to sound. For our Savior to come. And to call His children home. Thank God that'll settle it all. I ended with what John said at the end of the book of Revelation. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's my desire. You say, preacher, do you not desire to live? Oh, I enjoy living. There's things I'd love to see. But I want to tell you, this world's not my home. I'm looking forward to the day when I can see Him bow at His feet and say, thank you for having grace on somebody like me and say, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. I don't know your heart. You may be listening. Somebody may be listening. And you may say, preacher, I'm not ready to meet Him. I'm not ready for Him to come today because I'm not saved. But you can be. Right now, where you are, sitting in your car, listening at your house, if you're not ready to meet Him, I want to tell you, all you got to do is bow your head, tell Him you're a sinner. And you're lost and undone without Him. Ask Him to save you by His grace. And He will today. You may be a child of God away from Him. Ask Him to forgive you. Cleanse you, and He will today. I want to tell you, get your heart right. He's coming. And I believe He's coming soon. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You for Your word today. Thank You for the strength to preach it. Father, I pray that You'd help those listening today if they're not ready. Father, to get ready. There may be one lost. Save them by Your grace. Don't let them miss heaven. Father, there may be a Christian that's not prepared. Father, help them to get prepared and live for You till You come. Father, meet our needs. Keep us safe till we meet again, if, Lord, You will, for us together again. Keep us all safe in Your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Be careful as you leave. Thank you for gathering today.